Insurance and Banking Subcommittee will come to order. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley.
Here.
Vice Chair Fetterhoff.
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Will Height is excused. Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown, Driscoll, Fabricio, Gio Lombardo.
Here.
Haig.
Here.
Coster.
Here.
Maggard.
Here.
Rayner.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Toledo.
Here.
Zika.
Okay, let the record reflect that a quorum is present. Before we begin, just a reminder to please silence your electronic devices. I want to welcome everybody back. Well, Happy New Year. I also want to welcome Representative Tant to the subcommittee. Welcome. We're happy to have you. We have seven bills on our agenda today. It seemed like to be a little tongue twister there, but so we will go ahead and get to that. First up, we're going to have Representative Robinson with House Bill 451.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Happy New Year, members. House Bill 451 provides a legislative remedy to a recent 11th Circuit decision. This bill protects individuals from unintentionally pledging their assets to an IRA or a pension plan that would otherwise be exempt from legal process. This bill clarifies that any security agreement pledging those assets must be specifically identified in order to constitute a valid intentional assignment or pledge. This bill is retroactive, clarifying, and remedial in language, and is supported by the Real Property Probate and Trust Law Section, Business Law Section, and Tax Law Section of the Florida Bar, and that's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Representative. Members, any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, we've got public testimony. Martha Edenfield from Real Property Probate and Trust Law Section of the Florida Bar. She's waving in support. That concludes our public testimony. Members, we're in debate on the bill. Any debate on the bill? Okay, seeing none, Representative Robinson, you are recognized to close on the bill.
I'll wave close, Mr. Chair.
Okay, having waved close, Representative Robinson has closed on the bill. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley.
Yes.
Vice Chair Fetterhoff.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Will Height is excused. Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
The bill passes.
Okay, members, by your vote, House Bill 451 will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, members, next up we have Representative Fernandez-Barquin, House Bill 275. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, HB 275 deals with loss run statements. For those of you who are not aware what a loss run statement is, essentially an employer who has a group health insurance program can request what's called a loss run statement from insurance companies. And then shop around for a better price with other health insurance companies. What my bill does, it's a technical glitch bill that just cleans up two conflicting statutes and also provides that some additional specific information is provided from the health insurance company to the employer, and I ask for your support.
Okay, thank you, Representative. Members, any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, public testimony. Okay, we've got Wences Troncoso, Florida Association of Health Plans. He's waving in support. Okay. And that concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the bill? Any debate on the bill? Representative Fernandez-Barquin, you are recognized to close.
I'll wave close.
Okay, Representative Fernandez-Barquin, having closed on the bill, Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fetterhoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Will Height is excused. Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Members, by your vote, House Bill 275 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, and congratulations on being a newlywed as well, my friend.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And thank you, members.
Okay. Okay, members, we're on to House Bill 695, Representative Stevenson. And I appreciate your patience waiting. We have a few members in the same committee that are presenting here today. So you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair DeSegley, Vice Chair Federhoff, and Ranking Member Wilhite. He's excused. Well, okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to hear my bill. House Bill 695 amends Florida law to allow Florida's Hurricane Catastrophe Fund coverage to apply to any authorized insurer that assumes or otherwise provides coverage for policies of an unsound insurer. Currently, CAT fund coverage can only transfer to citizens and only after a company has been placed in receivership. Specifically, the bill allows for any authorized insurer to receive the transfer of CAT fund coverage pending an agreement by the State Board of Administration. Additionally, it allows this transfer to take place when an insurer is deemed to be in unsound condition as opposed to only when an insurer is placed into receivership. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Members, any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, any public testimony? We got Paul Handerhan, Florida Association for Insurance Reform. He is waving in support. And we've got Grant Phillips, Office of Insurance Regulation. He's also waving in support. Austin Stowers, Department of Financial Services. He is waving in support as well. That concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the bill? Any debate on the bill? Okay, seeing none, Representative Stevenson, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Chair DeSegley. These changes would reduce disruption to policyholders of unsound insurers by incentivizing private carriers to provide coverage for these policies. The changes facilitate private market solutions for policyholders and serve to limit growth of policies covered by citizens. I ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
Representative Stevenson, having closed on the bill, Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegley?
Yes.
Vice Chair Federhoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Wilhite is excused. Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown? Yes. Driscoll?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gil Lombardo? Haig?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Cant?
Yes.
Toledo? Yes. Zika?
Yes.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, House Bill 695 will be reported favorably. Up next, we will take up House Bill 925. Representative Stevenson, you are recognized to explain the bill before we take up your amendment.
Thank you, Chair DeSegley. For more than 40 years, LIBOR, the London International Bank offered rate, was charged on adjustable rate loans, mortgages, and corporate debt. Effective December 31st, 2021, LIBOR will no longer be used to issue new loans in the U.S. for dollar-denominated securities. It is being replaced by SOFR, the Secured Overnight Financing Rate, which many experts consider a more accurate and more secure price benchmark. SOFR is based on Treasury repurchase market, an observable, which are made up of observable transactions, while LIBOR was based on estimates. SOFR has been published by the Federal Reserve since 2018, Federal Reserve Bank of New York. House Bill 925 addresses what happens when a financial contract does not include fallback language or contains ambiguous language that addresses the ambiguous language. This is to address the transition from LIBOR to when it's used to calculate interest rates on existing loan documents and instruments. The proposed legislation accomplishes four basic objectives. It requires the use of SOFR as a LIBOR replacement rate where the financial contract language is silent or the fallback provisions prescribe the use of LIBOR. It prohibits a party from refusing to perform its contractual obligations or declaring a breach of contract as a result of the discontinuance of LIBOR or the use of SOFR. It definitively establishes that SOFR is a commercially reasonable substitute for and a commercially substantial equivalent to LIBOR and provides a safe harbor from litigation for the use of SOFR. House Bill 925 does not impact financial contracts that have fallback provisions to a non-LIBOR replacement rate, for example, prime. The language is nearly identical to bills passed in New York and Alabama, and it will ensure that contracts continue to be valid and enforceable and keeps the cases from clogging the court system. There's also an amendment, Mr. Chair.
Okay, members, any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none. Representative Stevenson, you are recognized to explain amendment number one.
Amendment one is basically Scrivener's errors and technical changes. It clarifies the definition of benchmark replacement conforming language on lines 68 to 93 to reflect that subparagraph 2 is permissive rather than a mandatory requirement for every contract, security, or instrument subject to the bill. It changes the phrase must constitute on line 253 to constitutes in order to clarify that the bill deems the subsequent paragraphs A through D on lines 254 to 262 to be true when a recommended benchmark replacement is selected or used. And it corrects a Scrivener's error on page 306 and 307 to change the phrase recommended replacement benchmark. It changes it to the defined term recommended benchmark. It changes it to recommended benchmark replacement because it is the defined term in the statute.
Okay, thank you. Members, any questions on the amendment, on amendment number one? Any questions on amendment number one? Okay, seeing none, any public testimony? No public testimony. Members, any debate on amendment number one? Any debate? Seeing no debate. Representative Stevenson, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close.
Okay, are there any objections to the amendment? Any objections? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. Okay, members, are there any questions on the bill as amended? Any questions on the bill as amended? Okay, seeing none. Any public testimony? Anthony DeMarco, Florida Bankers Association. Waiving its support. Thank you, sir. And that concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the bill? Any debate on the bill? Okay, seeing none, Representative Stevenson, you're recognized to close on the bill as amended.
Thank you. Members, I'm asking for your favorable support. This bill keeps financial contracts working in a fair, strong, and predictable manner as we continue the phase out of LIBOR and it reaches its final stages.
Okay, thank you. Representative Stevenson, having closed on the bill, Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegli?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fedehoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Will Height is excused. Representatives, Barnaby is excused. Brown?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Toledo? Zika?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, House Bill 925 will be reported favorably. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Okay, members, we will now take up House Bill 503, Insurance, by Representative Gregory. Representative, you are recognized to explain the bill before we take up the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this bill makes several regulatory updates to laws in the insurance sector. Many of them you heard last year, and it passed through this committee and the next committee. It's not designed to be controversial, so hopefully it's not, and I think after the amendment it won't be.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. Well played. Members, any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, Representative Gregory, you are recognized to explain amendment number one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this amendment, of course, corrects some grammatical changes, syntax errors, things like that. It also ensures that DFS has the discretion to consider all schools that are capable and offer all lines adjuster training. So it's simply adding an additional school. But probably most important is it does remove one section that had proven to be a little bit controversial, and that's the language that was dealing with the service of process. This amendment removes that section.
Okay, thank you, Representative. Members, any questions on amendment number one? Any questions on amendment number one? Any public testimony? None. Members, any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Gregory, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close.
Okay, are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. Okay, members, we are now, are there any questions on the bill as amended? Any questions on the bill as amended? All right, public testimony. Daniel Olson, Florida Service Agreement Association, waiving in support. Thank you, sir. Paul Handerhan, Florida Association for Insurance Reform, waiving in support. Josh Aubuchon from State Farm, he's waiving in support. Thank you, sir. That concludes public testimony. Members, any debate on the bill as amended? Any debate? Representative Gregory, you are recognized to close on the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, we all know as Floridians and as representatives that we have to do something in the insurance market to remove some unnecessary regulations and do everything we can to stop prices from rising so high. And hopefully this bill is going to help achieve that success. And I hope for your favorable vote.
Representative Gregory, having closed on the bill, Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegli?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fedahoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Will Height is excused. Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gil Lombardo?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Toledo? Zika?
Yes.
Thank you, members, by your vote. House Bill 503 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Thank you. Okay. We are now on to House Bill 139. Representative Fabrizio, a busy man. He spends more time with our staff than I do. Representative Fabrizio, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair. Members, this bill requires an employing agency of law enforcement officer that operates a vehicle take-home program to maintain motor vehicle insurance that covers the time an officer spends going to or coming from work or any other agency assignment in a law enforcement vehicle. This bill specifies that the required motor vehicle insurance does not have to provide coverage if the officer makes a distinct deviation for a non-essential personal errand, or if the officer acts in bad faith. Members, that's the bill.
Okay, thank you, Representative. Members, any questions on the bill? Representative Rayner, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill. I just want to kind of get some clarity. So as it is currently, does the officer have to maintain his or her own coverage?
You are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. That's a great question, Representative. I appreciate it. So currently, municipalities and law enforcement agencies sometimes provide the auto insurance coverage for officers who are required to have the take-home vehicle, but not all of them do, and there's quite a few that don't. So if the law enforcement agency requires the officer to have the take-home vehicle, and they don't provide the insurance, they require the officer to purchase their own insurance coverage for that back and forth to and from work. So what happens is oftentimes you'll have the insurance carrier will have to, the officer will have to, through their insurance carrier, buy this rider in addition to their current own private personal auto insurance. Some carriers don't provide that rider, and the carrier and that police officer may have to get a complete other policy from another carrier. So it's a complication. The purpose of this bill is to help law enforcement officers. These police officers need this coverage so that they can more reasonably do what they need to do. Thank you.
You're recognized for follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for answering my question. I just have another question with regard to the fiscal impact. When I was looking at the analysis done by committee staff, it says that this bill may have a significant yet indeterminate negative fiscal impact on state and local government expenditures. From your research and from you obviously doing your due diligence on this bill, Do you have any anticipation that there will be a significant fiscal impact? Or is this, you know, where does that stand when we're looking at that?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. The staff analysis is effectively inconclusive with regard to the actual fiscal impact. The fact is that the way that the bill is drafted, the agency can, as per my reading of it and my understanding of it, the law enforcement agency can choose to provide that coverage, meaning that duty to defend and duty to indemnify themselves, or they can elect to do that through an insurance carrier. So those costs will be borne out. We've spoken to quite a few law enforcement agencies, and actually there are law enforcement officers here in the room today. This bill is supported by both the FOP and the PBA.
Representative Driscoll, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, Rep. Fabricio. My questions are also kind of about the cost and just understanding better the parameters of the program, because I know that I think that you'd said in your opening statement that it's for this bill would cover those officers who are required to drive their vehicles to and from home. But as I read the bill, it sounds like it might be optional. It also includes programs where this might be optional for the officers to drive their vehicles to and from home. Could you provide some clarity about that on that for the committee, please?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Would you point to the page and line that you're referring to?
Oh, sure. Give me a second. So if you go to line 23 through 25, it says, if an employing agency authorizes a law enforcement officer to travel to his or her place of residence. So to me, that doesn't sound so prescriptive to say that it's required. It's just that if it's permitted. So I guess that's my question is, would your bill, could you help me understand? Because I think in your opening, you were saying that it's only for those agencies that require the officers to drive. My question is, would the bill also cover those agencies for where it's simply permitted?
Well, there's a difference between simply permitted and required. Most of the agencies, the way that the fleet system works with their vehicles, their take-home vehicles, the most police officers are required to take their vehicle home. And that's where that requirement comes in. But I don't necessarily read it as permissive the way that you're interpreting it, because I believe that's your interpretation of it. It's if the police officer has to take a police vehicle home and back to work, whose insurance policy should cover that time while they're driving to and from work is the issue. And our position is that the agency should cover that that exposure.
Any questions? Any further questions? You have another question, Representative? Okay. All right. Seeing no more questions, public testimony. Felix Del Rosario, Miami FOP Lodge number 20, waving in support. Thank you, sir. Al Palacio, Florida State Fraternal Order of Police, waving in support. And Thomas Reyes, Miami Fraternal Order of Police, waving in support. Thank you. And Matt Puckett, Florida Police Benevolent Association, waving in support. That concludes public testimony. Members, we are in debate on the bill. Members, any debate? I'm sorry. I didn't see your. You're recognized in debate. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, thanks, Rep. Fabricio. You know, I'll be up on the bill today because it does seem to me that where our officers are required to drive their vehicles, they should have that insurance coverage. My only concern is, and hopefully we can talk about it a little further, just trying to get clarity about where it's permissible versus required. Because what I would hate to see happen, I know that the fiscal impact is indeterminate, but let's just say that this would cost a municipality or a government a lot of money, and then maybe they would want to discontinue the program if it was something that was, like, you know, offered as a perk to officers as opposed to a requirement. I just hate to see our officers be impacted in that way. So that's kind of where my questioning was coming from, just concerned about the fiscal impact to our local governments and making sure that we're not having an unintended consequence that might actually be hurting our officers. But I think your bill is well-intended, and I'm going to be up on it today, so thanks for bringing it.
Any further debate? Any debate, members? Representative, I just want to quickly thank you for this bill. When I you know, read this bill and a couple folks came to me, I couldn't really believe that they were required to pay for that coverage. So I do appreciate you taking up this this bill. So you recognize to close.
Thank you, Chair. And I want to thank you and the committee staff for working with me on this bill. It's an incredibly important issue, and we need to be able to support our police. We support our law enforcement, and we back the police. Thank you so much. I ask you to support this bill.
Representative Fabrizio, having closed on the bill, Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegli?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fedahoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Will Height is excused. Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Fabrizio?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Foster?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Thank you, members. By your vote, House Bill 139 will be reported favorably. And last but not least, House Bill 7013. Representative Fabrizio, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Members, HB 7013 saves from repeal a public record exception for the personal identifying information of an injured or deceased employee contained in records submitted to and held by the Department of Financial Services pursuant to the workers' compensation law. Members, that's the bill.
Okay, thank you, Representative. Any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none, any public testimony? Austin Stowers, Department of Financial Services. He's waving in support. That concludes public testimony. Members, we're in debate on the bill. Any debate on the bill? Representative Fabrizio, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close.
Representative Fabrizio, having waved closed, Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair DeSegli?
Yes.
Vice Chair Fedahoff?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Will Height is excused. Representatives Barnaby is excused. Brown?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Fabrizio?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Foster?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Thank you, members. By your vote, House Bill 7013 will be reported favorably. Thank you, Representative. Well done.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, members, if there is no further business, that concludes our agenda for today's meeting. I'm very excited. I'm going to go home and actually have pizza with my kids in time. So, Representative Fedahoff, Vice Chair, moves we rise. And without objection, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.